Hang on a second. Hang on, everybody. The music keeps coming back. Good evening. How are you all? Trying to get this thing set up, and sometimes it disobeys me. I think it's probably Putin or probably climate change that causes the music effects on this show to sometimes vanish, which amazes me. You know, undoubtedly, Jed will understand why this can be. But anyway, thank you guys for being here tonight. It's Thursday. It's 8 p.m. in the UK. And yes, Leslie, it's global boiling obs. So you're all very welcome. Thanks for being here with me this evening. We have an action-packed agenda of stuff to get through. So I hope you'll find it all very entertaining and enjoyable. We're going to, we're going to talk about the collapse of the SNP government. I hope Grantonio is all ready for that one. It's lots of comedy being provided north of the border. So we're going to chat about that. We're going to talk about that Tommy Robinson verdict from yesterday. Lots of things surrounding that to consider. We also we should probably throw in the Lawrence Fox verdict from today in terms of what he's been asked to pay out in damages. So we could maybe chat about those things. Want to talk about a couple of US topics if our friend City Troll manages to be here on time. We've got long range. We've got the fact that I see the Biden's supplying long range ballistics to Ukraine. Yeah, that's going to really help peace. And then I want to ask the question. Oh, here he is. I see him. And then I want to ask the question. Some polls are showing Biden ahead. Now, I don't believe any polls, but I just thought it was interesting.
Biden's so ahead. He's a head of cabbage.
We're gonna get to that, Paddy. We've got lots of American stuff to chat about as well. I want to talk a little bit about Israel as well, because this is a topic that I sometimes haven't got as engaged in as I could do, but I've got some issues that I want to chat about. So look, that's the agenda. I hope that's all fine. So I just want to say my good evenings to Reese, Anne-Marie, great to see you. Chris Davies, my good friend. Joel, great to see you guys. Nath, JVM, Leslie, of course. Gaur Ram, great friend as well. Gaur Ram. I see the Welsh Stasi government has decided to drop the 20 mile per hour zone in some areas. I saw that with some interest and thought of you. Farmer D, great to have you here as well. So yes, guys, thanks all very much for being here. It's good fun. We're gonna have a good hour, maybe even an hour and a half, depending how which way this goes. But the very first thing I want to do, I like to get my priorities lined up here. Now, the first thing I want you all to do, everyone listening to this, is to wish our producer and all-round good guy, Jed, a very happy birthday. It was his birthday yesterday, the show's tonight, and I'm sure, like the Queen, he's allowed to have. Paddy's been banned from the studio.
Well, Mr. President.
I'm not coming over there to sniff your hair.
So listen, Chris Davey says, happy birthday, Jed. I'm sure the bus pass will come in handy. Boom, oh, I see you. Happy, Reese says, happy 70th, Jed.
I saw that one, mate. Can you kick him out the studio, please?
Yeah, these people are all being banned one by one. Yeah, no problem, Jed. Don't worry about it. But anyway, seriously, Jed, I want to thank you very much for all that you do for us here in the pod, being in the podcast, over on the all the other stuff, basically. Anyway, I hope. I know it was your birthday yesterday. I also know you were very busy in your day to day activity, and also we did another show last night, which we'll be putting out. Guys, listen to this one. It'll be going out on Monday night, right? So it's live, but it's not live. But anyway, it's really interesting. It's about the pyramids of Bosnia. And if you've heard of the pyramids of, you know, obviously Egypt and Mexico and some of the South American stuff, this is really interesting. It's definitely worth watching with. You don't have to go with it. You might listen to the guy who has discovered these things, Dr. Sam, and he and the sponsor of my platform, Sarah Jane Smith, they all joined last night, and you'll get to see it all. So anyway, hey, Jed, apparently you share your birthday with Barbara Streisand. So there you go. That'll be a memory for you.
And the Barbara Streisand defect. Apparently, yeah, maybe that's why he was named like that, because of me. And but I just want to tell everybody, I now feel a day older than I was yesterday.
Yeah, but Jed, you'll never be as young again as you are this evening.
That's right, absolutely.
As for the rest of us. So listen, guys, so I wanted to start that off just acknowledging Jed and all the stuff that he does. And so we'll get into the politicking of all this crazy world in which we live. And I thought I'd start off with the thing that probably has given me the most entertainment today anyway, and that is that up in Scotland, the SNP Green Party coalition that's been in place since 2021. Well, basically, it's over. The Greens have walked out. They've had a hissy fit because even the SNP weren't so crazy as to think that Scotland could cut its carbon emissions by 75% by 2030. So the SNP decided, we're not going to do that. And the Greens have said, right, well, that's it. We're out of here. And I think I'm right in saying, and Grantonio, I will bow to your superior knowledge in this, but am I right in thinking that one of the Green Party individuals, although they wear a dress, I think they're male, aren't they? I think I sort of picked up on that one briefly today. So Greens are like, you know, honestly, God, Greens are the most demented people everywhere. Apart from in Northern Ireland, where we've got the Alliance Party, which is similar sort of thing. And anyway, the point is that they've walked out in Hoomsa. This could trigger a no confidence vote, and this could theoretically bring down the Scottish administration. So I thought that, and that was very entertaining, and I was amused about that. But as I say, if Grantonio's here, and did I see him or not?
Yeah, I saw him float through.
Oh, he is, Paddy. I just said him. Yeah, he's coming in. So I consider this to be good news. Certainly, you can always rely on the SNP, the Scottish government, basically, for quality comedy. Grantonio, do you want to kick off on this one? Because you're closer to the eye of Sauron up there than we are.
Mercifully, I'm in England at the moment, so I'm missing all the fireworks. I don't. There's just so much to say about this one, David. You said something about the Greens parting company with Hoomsa because of their inability to meet these climate change targets.
Yep.
I think there's more to it. I think it's because they've parted ways on the basis of the fact that they don't want to give children puberty blockers. I think that's part of it as well.
Also true.
The poor Greens. They're not going to be allowed to legally mutilate children. What a shame for them, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, it's fascinating, this puberty blocker thing. Cranky, the hill that she decided to die on was men in women's jails, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Hoomsa could have made himself very popular by just completely distancing himself from those policies. And all they have to do is say, look, we've listened to the Scottish people. You know that trite that politicians come out with. We've listened to the Scottish people and we've realised that this is not working for us. And we're now going to work on increasing literacy levels for young people in Scotland. We're going to work on eradicating drug problems in Scotland. We're going to work on... how dare I? I know. There's a lot to say about this. I'll just come in and out when I've got something else to chip in with, David.
Yeah,
but ultimately, this is good news. What's going to replace Hoomsa when this... when he's booted out in a few weeks?
Yeah, well, I mean, let's turn to Adrian. I'll come to you in this one next. So what did you make of the shenanigans in the Scottish Parliament with what looks to be the potentially the imminent fall of the SNP administration?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. And we have said before that we thought that the SNP needed to be destroyed to give Labour a chance to get the majority. To me, this just sort of reinforces the point. These Greens only get into power when other groups can't form an outright majority. So they get in on the promise that they're going to get in to maybe change things, and they start all these radical policies that, you know, otherwise would not be on the agenda if they weren't voted in, if they weren't needed to create majority governments. And we've seen that happen across Europe. But as for the SNP, well, they're going to get obliterated, I think, at the next parliament. And I think Alex Salmond has an MP there who could help save Humza. But it depends, I think, on all the opposition parties voting against him. Mm. And from what I've read, he seems to have annoyed quite a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Adrian, I agree with that analysis. I think this is part of the operation to destroy the SNP were basically set up to be destroyed to make sure that Labour get into power later this year. And this is just almost like the final act in that, I suppose. But also, Grantonio is right that I'd said it was to do with climate change, which it partly is, but it's also partly to do with the fact that, the Greens are really keen on giving, you know, kids puberty blockers for some reason, which we can only but speculate. They're very, very interested in making sure those kids have their puberty absolutely screwed up. I wonder why that might be.
Go on. Adrian, you've got...
I was just going to say, do you think that certain section of the community would mind if the West destroyed itself by destroying its children?
Well, you wonder, don't you? You wonder what their ultimate goals are. I just want to pick up on something that you just said, Adrian, about Humza not being very popular in Holyrood. I mean, when Ash Reagan was left, he said something along the lines of, it's no great loss to the Scottish National Party, I think was the phrase that he used. He's not very politically astute. I mean, say what you want about Cranky. She was very good at playing the game. He's just such low IQ, such low caliber politician. But he's burnt many bridges, has Humza. Especially with white.
Well, the thing, I mean, if everyone remembers, I was 100% in favor of him taking over from Cranky because I knew he would be a disaster, you know. But I've got to admit, I didn't quite realize he would be as catastrophically bad as he's turned out to be. And I don't know I don't know where this is going to go. Adrian's right. It's going to go that ultimately, and Grantonio's right, these guys are going to be, the SNP are going to be wiped off the face of Scotland, or they're going to be dramatically reduced. You know, the latest polls show them, they may well end up with, Labour will probably gain more seats than them and stuff like that. So it's going to be very bad. But actually, Grantonio, you made the point that, say what you will about Cranky, about Nicola Sturgeon, but again, since we last met here in other comedy news, her husband, and I use the term in the broadest sense, her husband, Peter Morrell, he was charged with embezzlement. Grantonio, were you shocked and stunned to hear that?
No, not at all. I'm just waiting for her to be... thing to happen to her. But the joke I cracked last week was proof that a woman can have a dick.
On that note, Paddy, do you want to jump in that one?
thanks. I see what you're handing to me, but let me ask a question as a total outsider. My only comment is the social. All Greens are commies. Every part of the world, it's all just a cover for Bolshevik socialism. But the what's going to replace Humza? What's it look like? You know, what's the new agenda? Who's going to fill the gap? You know, that's the next thing, because you know that's already picked out. So I'm asking you guys, because for me, I just sit and get popcorn and watch this stuff. Yeah. I spent my day this morning, although my morning was very bright this morning, I spent for 3 hours and listened to the argument before the Supreme Court about Trump's immunity. That was a squirrel box.
Well, we'll get to things. But Chris Davey says, "Whatever happened to the motorhome?" I don't know, Nicola. I don't think there's any knowledge. Flat. As far as I understand, they have no knowledge of anything that was going on around them. But Chad, I'll jump to you in this one. So, like, obviously, you saw that like the Greens have pulled the rug, so he's now in a minority administration, so he can't achieve much. But where does it go, do you think?
Well, firstly, can I just say thank you to all the people on Getter for the birthday wishes. Thank you very much, because we do have all our fans over there as well, who are commenting like mad on all the topics. They're going absolutely nuts over there. I was with you, the fact that useless would prove to be true to his name and be useless. And the thing is, if you're ever propped up by another party, you're only one argument away from being out of power, aren't you, really? And that's what's happened. I mean, look at Theresa May with the DUP. That cost the British taxpayer £1 billion or thereabouts. And did it really achieve hill of beans? No, it didn't. And the thing is, Greens will stick to anybody as long as it gives them power. You know, you look how people have voted over the decades for Green parties. They haven't. You look, we had Caroline Lucas. It is Caroline, isn't it? Yep. Caroline Lucas, the only MP. And where was she the MP for?
Brighton.
Exactly. Yep. I think that says it all, doesn't it? Yeah. And even she's now stepped down.
San Francisco of the UK.
Exactly, mate. Exactly, yeah. Well, there's a lot of uphill gardeners. I'll just put it that way. But, yeah, if you're relying on your survival for another party, your survival isn't set in stone, is it? And I think it's about time that the SNP got a kick in, politically speaking, because I think they captured Scotland. I think they were very, Sturgeon was very good at demonising the other two main parties, Labour and Tories. Absolutely, she was brilliant at that. But now they haven't got, as Grantonio, I think, was saying, she was very politically astute. All we've now got is second-rate bank clerks as MPs. That's what we've actually got. You know, that old phrase that Nigel Farage used in the European Parliament. So, yeah, I think Scotland, is it going to go red? Probably, more likely. It's definitely not going to go blue, and I don't think it will be yellow for a long time. I think the people are fed up of the SNP and the disaster they've done with healthcare, education, shipping. I mean, and if that's where the caravan is, I think she's buggered off in it, and she's halfway across Europe now in that caravan trying to hide.
I think she's made a break for Russia. Do you think that
Maybe for Russia. She'll be there with Snowden, won't she?
She could seek sanctuary, perhaps, there. But, I mean, I'll tell you, we'll wrap this up in a second, but if you step back at this and look at, if we all could go back in time, you know, a little over a year and a quarter ago, January 2023, Nicola Sturgeon was still pretty much Queen of Scotland, you know, very, very popular, you know, basically queen of all she surveyed politically anyway. And the fall has been dramatic, but I think it's been planned. I think the SNP played a particular role to try and break up the UK. That was useful for certain powers at be. And now that we can rely on Labour to do that by reversing us back into the EU, maybe they just don't need them anymore. But anyway, look, as I say, it is comedy gold what's happening up in Scotland, Grantonio, it has to be said. And it does provide me with, I look upon it as a lighthearted break from some of the more awful stuff that we have to put up with. But anyway, let's move to a positive subject. Now, the Tommy Robinson verdict, which, of course, you saw yesterday in London at the Royal Courts of Justice, where the Metropolitan Police's case against him was dismissed. by the judge, magistrate to be precise, by the magistrate. And I saw that as a great victory. And we saw lots of, it was on St. George's Day, April 23rd yesterday. I'm sorry, yeah, I'm getting my days wrong, on Tuesday. Yeah. Tuesday, and all the Patriots outside with their English flags, and then we saw the Metropolitan Police got stuck into them. Oh yeah, we've seen that as well. So what's your thoughts on this one? Tommy Robinson, I was delighted for Tommy. He's put up with more than most people have. I don't agree with Tommy on everything, but I recognize that as being a really good day for liberty in general, and for Tommy Robinson in particular. And I was pleased to see so many of my friends who live in the area were able to be there. So I'll come, Adrian, I'll come to you in this one first. What was your thoughts on the Tommy Robinson stuff in London there the other day?
It was good to see him get a win, because no matter where he goes or what he does, there's a massive target on his back. There's always people waiting to start rows with him. The police are always waiting to pounce. And if they're not prepared to follow the rule of law in arresting someone, then they deserve to be humiliated and shown up and embarrassed for poor policing.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a sense, to me, that looks like victimization. And in another way, Tommy Robinson has a Telegram channel and you cannot view any content on it, because Google and Apple have decided, not Telegram, Google and Apple. So this man is being heavily censored no matter where he goes or what he does. So it was really good to see him actually get a win, and it's being recognized as a win.
Yeah, the point you make, Adrian, on Telegram is quite a good one. If you're dead right, Apple and Google have conspired to ban Tommy Robinson's Telegram from those devices. You are able to see it in other ways, but I'll not go into. But
that is mass censorship in its purest form. You know. Yeah.
And Adrian, here's the thing as well, that if they can do that to Tommy, they can do it to me, they can do it to you, to Paddy, to Jed, to any of us. You know what I mean? I kind of see that in a way, Tommy's been the guy that's taken most of this crap for the longest. And, it was, as David Clement says here, two-tier policing, so very clear.
Yes, but don't forget, Tommy is fighting a $1 trillion propaganda machine. You have to remember that. You know, no matter what he says and does, there are too many news channels, too many journalists that are willing to try and debunk what he says or what he does. You know what I mean? And that is an enormous battle for anybody to face.
That's right. And I mean, as people, Paddy, I'm not sure if you're familiar with all the nuance, but he basically went down to London to report on a pro-Palestinian demo, and an order had been put in place telling him apparently that he couldn't enter the M25, which is bizarre. He went, and he was pretty much instantly arrested. He was pepper sprayed. He was taken away. And, that was the background to it, Paddy. It was basically, it was the equivalent of saying to someone in the States, listen, if you're a journalist, you can't go to New York.
And I've watched, as an outsider, someone from across the pond who, because of my relationship with you guys, actually keeps an eye on your news and things going on. And, you know, I honestly don't like Tommy Robinson, but I respect the man because, you know, and he has been targeted. What they're doing is total outrage, and I'll stand with him and fight for him tooth and nail. No, I totally dislike the guy because what they're doing to him is outrageous. You can't, you know, but you don't censor anybody. And he's, you know, there's a lot of things he hasn't helped himself in, but but what they've done to him is an example of abuse of power. Power that no one should have.
Yeah, that's a very good analysis, Jed. I mean, what you saw it all unfold the other day, the case being thrown out of court, the celebrations outside. How did you read it, Jed?
I thought it was typical. I really did. Can I just say, I know some guys on the other feeds are having some sound issues. I am working on it. Yeah, it was typical. And I think the overriding factor is they were all quick to report him being arrested and et cetera, et cetera. But none of them, absolutely none of them, have reported that he was the victor in the end over the police and the state that had persecuted him for years. And I appreciate people might not like him at all. But the bottom line is... he's been right on so many things. He's highlighted decades before news media have highlighted things, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah. You know, he's typical. He's absolutely typical. And I think that tweet that you retweeted today with Tommy saying, you know, where is GB News reporting on this, for example?
You're never absolutely nowhere. Right.
But can I just say for the guys listening on Getter, Rumble, and... X, I am working on the sound. I don't know why you seem to have an advert playing in the background as well, because it's not happening at the studio.
Right, there shouldn't be an advert playing. And if there is, please send the dosh to me.
It's Sarah's advert, and I don't know why it's playing. I'm working on
it. All right, she's getting a Brucey bonus tonight. Actually, you know, on this one here, on Tommy Robinson, Grant Tony, I'll come to you in a sec. But on the whole... the whole thing about him as an individual, you don't have to like Tommy Robinson. In fact, you don't have to agree very much with Tommy Robinson to also accept that what was being done to him by the Metropolitan Police, and they've done it to others as well, but as Adrian says, they really, really picking Tommy, is egregious. You cannot ban people from a section of the UK. For those of you who came to the live show that we did back at the beginning of March, with Lawrence and Calvin, you know, in London. Tommy Robinson had contemplated coming to that event, and we were contacted by the Metropolitan Police in connection with that, and it made pretty damn clear that Tommy Robinson would not be allowed to come to that event. So the Metropolitan Police, how dare they tell anybody, you know, the most extreme left winger, I don't mind anyone
outrage.
At all.
That is just, that's a mortal sin. That really is. That's...
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but that's London, Paddy. That's London. And the Metropolitan Police report to Sadiq Khan. He's in charge of policing in London. And that maybe tells you all you need to know. Grantonio, do you want to put your pennies worth in this one?
I don't think I'm celebrating in the way that you guys are. Am I right that this case was thrown out of court on the basis, you tell me, David, of a technicality in that the inspector had got the date wrong or something like that?
No.
That's sorry, I beg your pardon. I'll tell you what, David, I'm getting that from the BBC, so you correct me.
You know, I tell you what, actually, Grantonio, that's exactly the point. The mainstream media, Jed references, because Jed referenced it and Tommy referenced it. The mainstream media have said, oh, well, look, there's it's a yawn. There's nothing to see here. An inspector got the date wrong. So on a technical basis, there's no case to be shown. No, that's not at all the case. But that's what I expect from the mainstream media. The magistrate... took the decision that there was no evidence to justify what had been done to Tommy Robinson. Therefore, there was no evidence. Therefore, there's no case. It's got damn all to do with was the date right, was the date wrong. And it just demonstrates again, Grantonio, you know, the mainstream media, the lying mainstream media. David Clemens is right here. The police lied. Then they lost all their body cam footage. It was, the incompetence is you know,
losing body cam footage, it's like losing WhatsApp messages in Scotland, isn't it? Do you know, David, I'm really, really surprised that the BBC have lied about this. But you know the other thing, David? Sorry, Adrian, said something.
For butting in, I just said it's not incompetence, it's corruption. That's probably better.
Mm-hmm. Today, it's my understanding that the court has ordered Lawrence Fox to pay something like £180,000accusation, which I think we all know was in bad taste, but was done, it was said ironically. I think we all know that, don't we?
Yep.
Called people, were they paedophiles? But they'd already been throwing mud at him about him being a racist or something like that. So it just seems like laws are only as valid as the will to enforce them sometimes. It's like we've got lots of laws that are that are sound laws in terms of deporting people, shall we say, but it really comes down to who wants to enforce these.
I think the Lawrence Fox one, because you bring that up, Antonio, obviously, I know Lawrence, and he's been asked to request, he has to pay £90,000 each to two individuals. Now, he did injudiciously use the wrong language, which I don't think he should have used, but £90,000. And you put it perfectly there, Grantonio. You put it in context. If it was a social media conflagration, it was one thing I've learned. You best don't get involved in those, but as a top tip.
For interrupting again, guys, but you have to remember why this is being done. It's to make examples. If they'll do it to Lawrence Fox, if they'll do it to Tommy Robinson, we'll do it to you.
It's lawfare.
Yeah, but it's letting the ordinary person know, if you step out of line, we're coming this way for you too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's right. Exactly, Adrian. But Adrian, you made a very profound point there, and I actually did a podcast on this, because it wasn't, Grantonio, it wasn't the corruption that the BBC or the Daily Mail or whatever say. It wasn't that. And It was indeed corruption. And one of the things that I sort of agitated about is the fact that, the way they talk about, the Metropolitan Police, they're institutionally racist, and don't forget the McPherson report into the death of Stephen Lawrence and all that business. What's happened in London is we have a deeply corrupt police establishment. And instead, they talk about it as if it's all to do with racism. It's got damn all to do with racism. I doubt there's any race. There's little, if any, racism within the Met. But there's deep corruption, Adrian. That's my take on the Metropolitan Police. And instead, we're being baited to look over there, look at all the systemic racism. No, I want to look over there where all the corruption is, Adrian.
Yes, but if Can wields the axe of power, do you know what I mean? They will not ruin their careers by stepping out of line and going against them. Mm-hmm. So they will go along, because I'm sure, as being a commissioner or a high ranking officer in the Met, it's very well paid. It's a very cushy job with lots of perks. So why would you draw attention to yourself by getting into a fight over something like that?
Jed, that's a good point, isn't it? I mean, we see this in the medical field as well. You're a well-paid doctor. Why would you criticize the jabs? You're a well-paid Metropolitan Commissioner or senior officer. Why would you go against Sadiq Khan?
It's all political at that level, sorry.
Yep.
No, you crack on, Adrian. I'm busy, David.
Okay, yeah, touch it. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, it is entirely political. That's the problem, Adrian. And Paddy, I mean, this is a problem. London, obviously, capital city of the UK and all that there. And it's increasingly, again, a place that I don't recognize as being London. I don't recognize it as being British. I see it as unsafe. I see it as being spiritually
conquered.
It's
been conquered. Conquered from within. They let them in. They're doing the same here. They're doing the same here now. They're overwhelming the native population, and so they can keep power. But it's so hard. Like when you guys talk about the police and everything, my family background is all police.
I know.
But also too, it's a different thing here. You look at it this way: in the United States, what you describe with the corruption at the Met and everything else, that's the FBI. Here in the United States, what they've done, the people who are trying to uphold the law and maintain the peace, the police in the United States have been defunded, demonized, and disarmed. And what do you call it? They've destroyed the police in the United States. But the FBI is the same as your Met. It's all politics. It's all corruption. And it's tools. They wield power for the politicians, not to protect the people.
A couple of comments I want to read out, which I think are really good. Gar Ram says, Stephen Lawrence's mother, Baroness Lawrence is almost as much of a grifter as Captain Tom's daughter. Yeah, a good one, Gargram. Yeah, I see Captain Tom's daughter has now got the house for sale to get some more money. And Anne-Marie says, the London police are a cult now. They do not serve the people, which is your point as well, Paddy, I think you're saying.
They're the pawns of the rich and the politically connected. They're no longer, they don't serve the will, to protect and serve is the motto of the law enforcement. That's our job. Like I said, my family's been cops since they came off the boat from Ireland and Italy back in the 1800s. Yeah. It's just what we did. I'm the first one that in the male line of the family that wasn't. If you look at it, they've disarmed, demoralized, and disowned the local police because they were that's their job. It's just trying to keep the peace, and keep the animals in control because we have a lot of people with 700 million guns.
So I have to add a sound effect when you do that. Let me see.
Pinball machine sound. Find it, Jed.
Yeah, there we are. Some applause for Paddy's.
There you go.
Talking about keeping the animals at bay, though, did anybody see the horses that ran wild yesterday? People talking about cults, the London police are a cult now, is what Anne-Marie just said.
Yes.
There was something very odd about this black horse and this white horse.
Wasn't there just Grantonio? And on the same morning, Big Ben stopped.
Yes,
Big
indeed.
Ben stop.
Very
9 a.m. Very, very, yes. I see Gar Rams picked up on this as well. That's really interesting thing. Big Ben stopped at 9 o'clock, having had millions, hundreds of millions of pounds given it a makeover, and it stopped. And then the horses ran through central London, Whitehall, one of them covered in blood. I hate to see animals suffer like that. Very strange indeed.
Apparently it was the sound of a drill or something that set them off. But anybody that knows anything about horses knows that's near impossible. They're highly trained. It's very unlikely that they do things like that when they hear loud noises. I mean, they're walking through London.
I know. I didn't believe a word of that. But the other thing, I don't know if any of you guys saw it, but did you see that if any of you have been in Paris and you've been to the Moulin Rouge, or you've walked past the Moulin Rouge, the which is like a windmill, the sails came off it last night. All the sails fell off it last night. So Big Ben comes to a halt. The sails fall off the Moulin Rouge. Bloodied horses running through London. And of course, you don't have to be conspiratorial to think, well, that's weird at the very least. What do you guys think?
This is only the beginning. Things are going to get crazier as we go on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've got to say, those images, Adrian, of those horses, and I still, the story doesn't, and apparently there was 5 horses, I've heard, subsequent. And it was their household cavalry.
I've heard that. There were 4 or 5.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's pretty much, that's a tremendous number of horses. How did they all suddenly get out? I'd like to, because I've seen the video footage of 2 of them anyway, and I'd just love to know. Drills. Anyone who's been in London, there's permanent noise. They'd be completely used to that. So, yes, Anne-Marie says they did say that the horse ran into the bus. I can't imagine a horse would run into the bus.
Don't forget, horses are pack animals. If one bolts, other will bolt. If one gets startled, you see horse racing, a jockey falls off, but the horse will keep going with the other horse animals or the other horses. It's just their herd instinct as such.
Mm. It's just strange, Adrian, on the day that Big Ben came to a halt, very weird, and then these horses running through London, very weird as well. And that's why I sort of think, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I view London in different ways, just, in the physical realm.
You carry on, David. Sorry.
No, I sense a blackness over London. There's something wrong with London. And yeah, I know it's Sadiq Khan. I get that. And I know the Metropolitan Police are corrupt. I know that. But it's like, something more than that.
And, it's called good. You know, it's called the battle of good and evil, David, and it's been going on around us for since we crawled out of the slime, and it's real. Anybody you want, you can deny it all you want. I don't care if you believe in religion, don't believe in religion. There are things going on that are greater than us that lean on us, that implore us, and that influence us. And it's, you know, it's those, we're in dark days, man. Shit, excuse my language. Stuff's nasty.
Can I just say, as a bit of an aside, I've always thought it was a bit of an anachronism having horses doing the policing. You see the footage of riots and things and the way they charge horses at people. I don't think that's fair on anybody. It's just a bit of an aside.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think horses are amazing animals. They really are. You know, anyone who's familiar with horses, but I think in the modern age to have them in that capacity in built up areas is in built up. Like for example, what happened there in on Tuesday after the Tommy Robinson thing, when I felt bad for the horses being, you know, they were obviously being agitated and whatnot. But why were they put in that position as well? Paddy says they're great weapons. Yeah, but they're also sensitive creatures as well.
Don't get me wrong, I'm an animal person, and I have three cats, a dog, and a parrot. I mean, you know, it's just,
you're covering the species there, Paddy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's got them all. You see, it's your feeding time's hell. But also too, I grew up where a police, Frank Rizzo as chief of police, used the Philadelphia horse squad to control crowds, to control things, you control riots. So you got a lot of problems coming up. You know, horses are a very important tool for police. When you've got a thousand crazy people screaming they want to burn the street down, and you got to push them aside. And whether it's right or it's wrong or it's brutal, it's a necessary thing at times, and I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of that in the times to come. I don't like the direction that any of our nations are going in right now.
Well, Paddy, that's a nice little lead into the next thing I want to chat about, because I don't like, well, we keep saying this, but it gets worse. So the Paddy, we're coming to your neck of the woods, the US, a couple God of help things me. Here. First of all, yeah, so two things that bothered me immensely. Number one, I see the US has coughed up some long-range ballistic missiles, I think 170 miles reach, which would allow the grifters in Kiev to hit the hit right into Russia. So that's not going to do much for the cause of peace, is it? And then the second thing is, I see an opinion poll. And yes, we all understand polls. They're about influencing opinion, not reflecting opinion. But nonetheless, saying that, Paddy, you may have seen this one, that it's a tight race between Biden and Trump, but Biden is ahead in terms of he will come out with like 287 seats versus Trump's 257, something like that there. And I just thought to myself, you know, step back from it again and just think. So they're saying, oh, yeah, hopefully, you know, probably 4 more years of Biden. And then I watched Biden at a press conference, another press conference, where I did a podcast on it, where he sort of mumbled 4 more. So this was in an auto cue, 4 more years. Full stop, pause. And
he's a mannequin. He's a bad ventriloquist dummy. You know, it's shocking. It's sad.
Yeah, and he's ahead in the polls. What?
Okay, ahead in the polls. That one poll has come out in the last week that had Biden ahead. There's been like 9 polls that have Trump ahead. They don't talk about those. And it polls, like you and I, and polls are what you want them to say. But the thing is Trump right now is having one of those weeks where he's in court every day, and it's 24/7. Trump's got to jail and they're this and the harbor and this, and they're beating down on him something awful. Then they had the Supreme Court today, and he couldn't even go because he ain't allowed to leave New York or they'll lock his ass up. You know, I mean, you know, it's just like they're playing the game. The only thing that can stop Trump from winning is if they steal it or he drops dead.
Well, Adrian, do you want to come in on that one and see?
Yeah, just when you say Biden's ahead in the polls, did anybody see Biden in Scranton, Delaware last week? His hometown.
Scranton, Pennsylvania. Don't mess up my home state.
When he drives about, he sees signs saying Trump, F Joe Biden, and from his own words, 7-year-old kids are giving him the finger. And he also said, it happens all the time. So how the hell is that man ahead in the polls if his own hometown is telling him to sling a hook?
Any answers, anyone?
Because he lives in his own little
Did anybody see that video, by the way?
No, no.
Yeah, I have.
I want to watch it. But that one about him saying the word pause, he's been doing that for years. He's got like an earpiece, and he actually reads out the instructions that he gets in the earpiece. So you often see footage of him saying, oh, now turn to the person to the left, shake their hand. It's brilliant. It's comedy gold. But with regards to Trump, it's like Obi-Wan Kenobi says to Vader, if you strike me down now, I will become more powerful than you will ever imagine. And that seems to...
Look, you have to understand, they're having all these court cases for a reason. They need to get him into prison. So we expect it to happen with one of the cases.
Oh, they're going to find him guilty. They're going to find him guilty on this one and everything else. They can't lock him up. They can't lock him up, but he will be sentenced, and he'll have almost 100 years hanging over him by the end of this. You're going to find him
100 years.
There's no doubt.
He'll only serve half of that.
If he's got 20 years left in his life, God bless him. He'll be the age of Methuselah. But he'll reach his 100.
It's all to help people wake up, though.
Yeah, and it's like the thing is like you said, it's a very interesting game of Russian roulette that everybody's playing. And the thing is like Trump said today, he was one of his, as he was going in and out of court for lunch, he said, I'll come here every day. My polls are going, my numbers are going through the roof. So
this is my thing. Jed, if you want to come in as well, you come in when I'm finished here. I think if he was put in prison, if they did it, and as you say, Paddy, mind me, that'll make him. It's the Obi-Wan Kenobi thing. It'll make him stronger. I reckon then he's almost a guaranteed win if they put him in prison. Although it's a terrible look for the United States. Jed, what's your take on this?
I wouldn't particularly listen to that conversation other than to say the sound is now sorted, David. I'm sorry.
The sound is now sorted.
And you were going on about polls and not trusting them. I don't trust polls. I prefer Czechoslovakians, to be honest. I think they're more trustworthy.
The polls have the prettier churches, especially the ones underground.
But I know we're talking about Biden, and I just can't believe that a person can be so hated, and we know he's hated, and he doesn't know anything, but his followers, his underlings know that he's hated, yet the media are still backing him. Why are they backing him? Because what they don't want is somebody that's going to tell the truth like Trump. That is the problem. And if Trump doesn't get in, and it is some Democrat, if Biden lasts long enough, and they keep, jabbing him with stuff to keep him going every single day, then I pity the US. I pity the West, because what we need is Trump in the US to start smashing down this wokeism, start pulling down the deep state, and the house of cards will follow. If we don't get Trump in, then I'm afraid we're lost.
Yeah, I mean, I look upon Trump as the West's last chance.
I think he's the only thing that can stop the war that's coming in its tracks. Because right now there is a war coming.
Yes,
and it scares the crap out of me.
The whole thing: Trump needs to unify the company or the country in this campaign. He needs to bring Democrats onto his side. Because there's been too many illegals brought in that'll be used for voting.
If he
can take the Democrats across and say, look at this man's doing, the economy's buggered, the border's buggered, blah, 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 blah. And if he can get those moderate Democrats to come across, I think he's having a great shot.
I think there's no doubt about it, though, that the it is going to be a straight race between, assuming Biden doesn't drop dead, between Biden and Trump. I think that anyway. But I'll tell you, guys, you should listen. If any of you guys follow the shows that I sometimes put out on the Hard Truth Rumble channel, if you go to Hard Truth Rumble channel, we recorded one the other night. It's with a guy called Daniel McAdams of the Ron Paul Institute. And he's kind of the number two to Ron Paul. And we had a really interesting chat with Alana Mercer, Daniel, and myself. And I mean, Daniel did make some points which I thought were fair enough. You know, he was sort of saying that, like, you know, Trump is not perfect. And I don't think we should be naive to think that he is perfect. He is the best choice for sure. But, you know, in recent times, he has made there's some questionable things that Trump says and does, like there was during COVID. I mean, you all remember he was Mr. Warp Speed and all that. So I just think you should listen to that, actually. A guy, Ron Paul, obviously, I'm sure you're all familiar with him. And Daniel, I thought he was a pretty good guy.
Whole warp speed. See, if that vaccine had not come out, we would have been locked down for 10 years while they fumbled about creating one. The economies would have been destroyed. The Great Reset would have been a full flow. It's a general stuck between a rock and a hard place. He knows he's sending troops into battle. He knows some of them are going to die, but it had to be done. He did give choices. He mentioned hydroxychloroquine. He mentioned ivermectin. He actually exposed Big Pharma.
Do you remember, Adrian, when Biden... said
this is a war. All optics are upside down, left, right at the moment.
Sorry, Adrian. You carry on.
Go ahead.
I was just sort of riffing on what you were saying. Do you remember when Biden made that comment about people who hadn't been vaccinated yet? Do you remember that one? And he said, "We are losing patients."
Yes.
Do you remember that? I mean, how evil. What an evil thing to do, to coerce people into taking something.
But that was the whole point. The whole point was we were going to be locked down. They were going to fumble about for years trying to find a vaccine because this disease was so new. Economies would have been destroyed. The Great Reset would have been in. Then we would have been forced to take the thing going by the Great Reset and, you know, the agenda they had laid out for us. So this was brought out to counter that. There were other options put out, unfortunately demonized by the mainstream media, but we have now seen the FDA have had to recant and take statements down about ivermectin because it has been proven to work. So in my opinion, it was a rock and a hard place, but he also has exposed Big Pharma, which is a massive wake-up call for people.
Okay. Adrian, I'll go along with you some of the way. It was between a rock and a hard place, yes. And if those of you can cast your mind back to 2019, the US economy was storming along. Trump was storming ahead in the polls. It looked like a shoe-in in 2020. And then, bang, along came COVID, which, you know, I believe was a complete psyop, total psyop. And yes, Adrian, that caused enormous difficulties in the US and obviously around the world as well. And it did huge damage to Donald Trump.
They stole the election.
Exactly. But that gave them the cover to steal the, or to help anyway, Paddy, to help
it
them,
was the whole purpose.
Steal the election. Well, I think the whole purpose was actually, if they could do it, to genocide half the world, actually. So I'd put it a bit more strongly. But yes, Paddy, and that's why, as I say, you know, I do understand that Trump was in a difficult position, Adrian, and I don't say for one second I would have called it any better. I'm not saying that. I also do think, though, that he did put his faith in some of the wrong people, you know, monsters like Mike
John
Pompeo,
Bolton,
for example.
John Bolton, David.
John, but another one. Yeah, yeah. I mean, no, again, who was advising him? I don't think he was making necessarily all the decisions, but he went with a lot of it. So, you know, I just don't think we should be looking at any politician through rose-colored glasses.
No, my point is we are in a war right now. We will not know who or what until the fog settles. And that's very important.
Yeah, well, yeah, I agree. And look, as I say, I doubt there's anybody listening to this stream who doesn't want to see Donald Trump win. I think we all do, Adrian, absolutely. Because the this is the point, actually, of this section I wanted to do. Because, Adrian, I don't think the United States could survive another Democrat term. My own view is, I think Biden, what we call Biden, but it's not really Biden, is it? It's Obama and all the rest of them. I think if they get another run at this, that's America gone. Adrian, what do you think?
But that's the whole point. It's to destroy America from within.
Yeah,
they can't conquer it militarily because it's probably the biggest and most sophisticated army in the world. And as Paddy tells us, they have 100 billion guns. So I'm only joking. But you know what I mean. You can't invade that country, so it needs to be destroyed from within. And that's what Obama done in his first 8 years. And that's what Biden's now continuing
and
on.
Four
with,
more years, you know, will be all it takes, and we'll be at each other's throats.
Trying to take the guns away from the people, weakening the military. You look at all the trans stuff, and your man doesn't know whether he's a man or a woman. What do you call him? Levine.
There's so many.
You know what I mean? So you know they've just corrupted everything. And you look at the American colleges now. A lot of those students are protesting for Hamas. Look what they've done. They've indoctrinated the youth.
Well,
and that is destroying
Actually, Adrian, that's a really good point. I'm going to come to you in this one in a second, Paddy. Just to say, everybody, we've got 5 minutes here to go until the witching hour of 9 o'clock. If we get sufficient pod points or golden beans, whatever they call them, and we get up, we're at 1,500. We need to get 2,000. Otherwise, it stops at 9. But actually, Adrian, Paddy, I want to bring you in this one. So running up to a presidential election, there's nothing that the Democrats like better than a good bit of race baiting, race riots, all that kind of stuff. And they got all that back in the summer of 2020 with BLM. And Adrian's mentioned the fact you've got all these university protests going on at the moment. And I'm wondering, do you think that this might become inflamed over the summer months as the is that going to be the next thing?
This is going to get bloody, and it's going to get bloody quick. These aren't just protest. This is organized terrorism. This is, they're feeling out weak spots. If you look where all these protests are taking place, he's let 20 million people cross our border. And there's been cells set up in every city. This could get bloody real fast, real dark. These people are chanting in support of terrorism on these campuses. These are not civil rights protesters. These are not free speechers. These are, you know, this is a problem. And they're hamstringing the police.
Yeah, but I think I'm asking, is it tactical? Do you think? I think the people behind this are the same people behind BLM.
Oh, they are. They are. They are. They're definitely funded by. It's all funded by. You can fund. You know, Mark Levin. God bless him. Anybody, if you guys can get his show over there, do yourself a favor. Listen to Mark Levin. You really want to know what's going on in this country. Yeah. Get an honest point of view.
I just want to bring Max makes the point here. Soros and Co.
That's it. Soros, Tides Foundation.
Yep.
It's all the same groups. He breaks it up. He just broke down. He broke down the whole thing. It's the Democrat Party. Then through Act Blue, the Democrat Party is bailing all these people out. They're being funded by Soros Group, the Tide Foundation, and two other ones. Correct. That are all tied together. Same ones that did BLM, same ones that have been behind it since the beginning, since Trump took office.
Yeah.
Before that, during all of Obama and everything, the whole nine yards, man. Obama should have been a savior to this country. Proved that we were over racism. Instead, he turned out that he flipped it completely opposite and divided the country greater than it's been in my lifetime.
He suited his secret service.
Can I ask a question?
Renegade, sorry. Very appropriate.
Yeah. Sorry, Adrian. Jed,
I just want to ask a question because we debate this sort of thing all day. Who's pulling whose buttons and who's controlling who? And the ultimate thing is, what is the end game. Now you could say, well, it's depopulation. All right, so let's say we depopulate by 50%. Okay, so that's how that's what, 4 billion thereabouts, 3.5 billion people wiped off the face of the planet. What happens? So what is the end game? What happens to the other 3.5 billion? What happens to them?
It's all about control and power. That's what it's
right,
about.
But we all say control and power, but what does that actually manifest into? You know, are we then a serf class that turn up to the factory? Bit like Russia, turn up to your factory, you press the stamp, and the other person turns the page, and then another stamp and turn the page.
And you keep your mouth shut. Right. Yeah. That's exactly so my point where it's heading.
My point is, guys, if that's where they want us to be, then the people at BlackRock and the Soros of this world are not going to be generating any cash. Now, you could say, well, that's fine because you won't need cash in the future because the serf class, us, will go out to the farm, we'll pull the wheat and we'll put it in and we'll get paid by being given a meal at the end of the day. That's how we're paid. We don't need money. And everything that we had, we no longer have because it now belongs to the state because they bought all our debt off us. And they said, well, we'll buy the debt of your home off you, but you can live in it forever until you've signed the bill. And then away you go, you can go into that little porter cabin there and we'll give that, we'll flatten that property and we'll turn it back into wild. That is that the ultimate goal? And if so, who benefits from that? Because the upper class that think they will benefit from that, because they think they'll have all these riches and they'll have all this power, but they'll have nothing to do with it because the rest of us will just be beaten down, stamping the boot, another person turns the page, stamp the page, and it'll be like that. You haven't achieved anything then. There is nothing to achieve, is there? There's nothing to aspire to.
Okay, you asked a question. So here's my answer on it. There will be the idea is that there will be a serf class, and that's pretty much everybody listening to this. And Jed, we won't be working in the fields. There won't be any of that. No need for that. We'll be sitting in front of our huge TV screens, eating the bugs, sedentary lifestyle, believing all the crap that's put into our brains, and a small little globalist elite will have complete control.
We're almost there, guys.
These are the transhumanist filth who are ultimately pulling all the strings and have been for a long time. And this is their mad plan. Now, Jed, I'm not saying that's going to work, but I'm saying that's, I believe, what they want. And so
we choose 1984 then, isn't it?
Sort of, yeah.
Not sort of. It's exactly it. And then the people who start ruling it. Yeah.
Orwell never mentioned bugs, Jed, you know.
Right. I say going out into the field and pulling the wheat. It doesn't matter because I do think it will be more like the Agent Orange. It is your piece of orange today. So today, Tuesday's our orange day. Wednesday is green day. Thursday is blue day. Whatever it might be. I get that.
Yeah,
but that's right, ultimately, to have power, you have to be able to make people do something. And if my sole purpose in life is to go and make a whole pile of green so we can eat it every Tuesday, and somebody's job is to make a whole pile of blue so we can eat it every Wednesday, then you're not controlling anybody. They're just doing it for survival. And survival isn't control, is it? It's the Mad Max thing. Once everything is gone and the whole society has collapsed, what are you actually controlling? Nothing. Because the bottom line is, you're then, the controllers that you're talking about, the people in power, are then behind big walls. And they're behind big walls protecting themselves.
Well, maybe
there are a lot of snipers in the United States.
Don't tell me you've got 700 million guns, Paddy. Well, it's about time. No, I won't say that you should start using it, because that would be wrong. I don't know what that was, but that was me.
I'm trying to figure out a special effect, Jed, that I can add every time we hear the term 700 million
guns. Yeah, but you see, one point, you only have control if you can make people do whatever you want them to do. Getting me to go to a factory to make orange every single day so we can eat it once a week isn't achieving anything once I've started to do that job.
Well, okay. I mean, I've given you my view. Does anyone else want to jump in terms of end game as a controller?
I wonder if we're giving the left too much credit here when we talk about end game. I mean, there's a lot of people I talk to, and they can tell you what they don't like. They don't like the West. They don't like white people. They don't like Trump. They don't like Western innovation or whatever. But they're never very good at telling you what they would replace it with. I suppose it's like the immigration debate as well. You know, how many people do you want to let in? And they can never give you an answer. I mean, I could easily answer how many people we don't want in. We've got so many people unemployed at the moment. We don't until we sort that problem out, we really don't need mass migration. But I think the left generally, I'm not sure if Jed was talking about the left. I think Jed's talking about the sort of factions in power. But generally, the left are very good at destroying things. They're just not very good at...
It's the left that's in power.
Well, yes. Yeah, quite. I'm making a very general...
Yeah. But I mean, there was a comment.
And look how things are. Are things productive right now? Does your society feel productive? Does my society feel productive?
Paddy, in 2021, do you remember when the Democrats were encouraging violence during all the BLM stuff?
I know. What do you call it? I was ranting. I was ranting. And
black people died.
And cops. Mostly peaceful.
You know. Yeah, mostly peaceful as they burned the building behind them. Yeah, I remember. But like I said, that was another thing. The Democrats, Soros, and all them were paying for that. Kamala Harris was promoting the fund to bail out the burners.
Yeah, because the thing about it is, look, ultimately, I think it is a spiritual warfare between good and bad, and we know which side we're on, and I'm pretty damn sure which side the likes of Soros is on, the likes of the Democrat machine in the States is on, the likes of pretty much the entire political system in the UK is on. You know, I'm pretty sure where they are. And Gaur Ram makes a very valid point. Western governments here, they do admire, because they've said so, they admire the Chinese social credit system.
They do, David. But, right, but let's say that is the end game. And then people are saying, well, China have been doing it and their people put up with it. I'm telling you now, guarantee it, human race will suffer lots and lots of things put on them. But eventually they will rise up. You look at communism, it was rife across Europe. Look at it now. It's not, well, we had the fall of the wall, because eventually people get fed up of being trod on. So China is, I will tell you now, in the next 20, 30, maybe 40 or 50 years, China will rise up, the Chinese people will rise up and overthrow its government. Because you can only push the human race so far that in the end, they will rebel. And China will be the first to fall. If we all go to this social credit system, we're down the line. But China will be the first one to fall because of its social credit.
Adrian?
Yeah, but that is their end goal. That's the way they want us controlled and locked down. But you say people will rise up, but that's why they're introducing more and more draconian laws against our free speech, our right to protest and whatnot, to make it even harder for us to rise up in the future once they enact all these draconian great resets and credit scores and all that. You know, they've been programming us every day for about the last 15 years now with check your credit score, because that is their end goal.
Yeah, good point, Adrian.
I was going to say, I said earlier that it was the desire to mutilate children that will bring down the Scottish National Party. But that hate crime bill should really be up there with disastrous legislation, draconian, as Adrian said. That should go down in history as just one of the most tyrannical things a British government has tried to
Yeah, but...
Sorry, David, I keep jumping in here, but it's because I'm reading some of these comments as well, where people say, like, the online arms bill and et cetera, and things like that. But in the end, we all imagined that the Iron Curtain would stay forever and the people behind it would never rise up. And it took 40 years or slightly more than 40 years for them to rise up. So people saying, well, China, you know, they've been doing it for 30 years. Well, maybe China might be on the brink of an uprising of its own people against its own government. Because I'll tell you now, human race will not suffer indefinitely under the boot of somebody else. And all these rich and famous people that are going to be the controllers of us when we are like China, for example, they still have to be fed. They still have to be looked after. They still have to be guarded. They still have to have electricity pumped into the compounds or whatever it might be in the end. And who's providing that? Us, the people. And therefore, it's us that can we are the feeders of them, and we can bring them.
Just on you saying the people rising up, a few weeks ago, Grantonio said that it'll be a financial crash that makes people wake up. China's economy isn't that great at the moment. There's a lot of defaulting on mortgages and things like that. The economy is slowing down. So you could be right there, Jed. Something could put them into turmoil, could make them rise up.
Yeah, there's no guarantees that China will sustain itself indefinitely. But then that's true of all, of everywhere. My problem is that I think the West is much more likely to fall before the East. That's my big problem. I look to India, I look to China.
China captured the West when the West moved all its manufacturing out there.
It did. It absolutely did, and that was globalism. We were told globalism was such a good thing. Actually, I wanted to touch on a point that Anne-Marie's brought up here, which I think is a good one as well, because another game changer that could happen very shortly, the next couple of months, is when the World Health Organization bring in their global pandemic accord, which is definitely not a treaty, right? Their accord. And that then gives these bunch of unelected thugs the power, technically, to at any point declare anything, name it, bird flu, whatever it is. Oh, it's a global pandemic, and now we're going to have to do boom, 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 boom. And that worries me enormously. And I don't see much of a pushback against that. Certainly here in the UK, I think we've already fundamentally signed on to it. What do you guys think about what could happen in the, I think it's around about, Anne-Marie, it's May, June, that this is likely to come to fruition? Anyone?
That won't fly here.
700 million guns, Paddy. I'll say it won't fly here.
No. Just no. The pandemic did so much damage to the United States. What people don't realize is the largest businesses in the United States are family-run small business. Small business runs America. Small businesses are wealth. And the pandemic destroyed millions of small businesses. Democrat, Republican. You're not letting us shut down our stores no more. Nothing. It just won't happen again. They did it once, and the price was too high.
Yeah, but if you've got a Biden regime sitting in the White House, and you've got, and they'd be completely sympathetic to the WHO, why would it not happen again, Paddy?
Because it simply just won't be. They'll get pressure from their own side. It financially hurt the majority of the United States so bad that they have to maintain a certain level to fund their little their global schemes and what regimes are chanting this and all, and they have to maintain a semblance of functionality here at home. And the pandemic, what they did to you, guys don't understand what it did to the psychic blow that this lockdown was to the United States was absolutely unbelievable. I mean, it's just it devastated everybody. They'll never have another lockdown here again from either side.
I wish I shared your optimism, Paddy, but. Certainly the World Health Organization, if the U.S. is a signature to the accord.
Biden will sign anything. They'll sign anything. It's a matter of enforcing. They're just that the people will not go along with it. I mean, unions won't. Everybody suffered. Everybody lost jobs, millions, everything. People lost everything during these last
years. Yeah, okay.
They put the country next to depression.
Yeah, but hang on a second. If you take California under Gavin Newsom, it was one of the most tyrannical, states in the U.S. And as far as I'm concerned, Gavin is still really popular, and the Democrats will still win across the
40% of the United States homeless live in California. That's all that you need to know.
Where's the uprising? But Paddy, where's the uprising against Gavin Newsom in California?
You won't see it because the junkies and the addicts and everything else, they aren't bothering to help. They're just feeding them sustenance to keep them exactly where they're at. They have the perfect. That's what they want to do to the rest of the country. They want to sit in their enclaves behind stone walls. And while the people poop and on the street and, you know, beg the government for sustenance, for their stipend, that's what they want. California is the model for what the elites want America to be. And just be grateful that, you know, 90% of the rest of the country says that's bull crap and we ain't doing it.
Quick question for all the UK guys here in the studio, and for those of you listening, it's a great question. As someone said, as Gauram, our good friend Gauram, put in, he says, "What percentage of the UK population would go along with another lockdown with masks again?" Adrian, what percentage do you think of our population would go along with it? Paddy's saying Americans won't. What do you think here?
Ooh, I still think there's too many that would go along with it. We have quite an elderly population here who still believe the government, still believe the news. They're the people that would go along with it. A lot more younger people, I think, would be a bit more blasé. Survived the first one, we'll survive this one. I don't know. I would like to think more people would actually stand and push back this time.
Okay. Jed, what percentage of the UK, Grantoni, I'll come to you next as well. What percentage? Give us a figure.
That is a difficult one because I'd like to think of the people going along with the lockdown and masks, I would like to think would be about 30%. However, I fear it would be more like 50 to 60%. And the reason I fear that is... I sit and watch a lot of old TV now, things like Gogglebox, just to have noise in the background. And I very quickly, when you sit there and look at other people, look at what other people say about things that are you would expect them to know just generally out of general education, if you see what I mean. And this is where our education is letting us down because it's not teaching our kids and what have you, anything. And I just think to myself how stupid so many people are. And if you watch something like Gogglebox from 2, maybe 3, maybe 4, 5 years ago, or slightly longer, and you sit there, and I did at tea time, we have only in the background, just why me and my good lady have a little bit of scran, just some background noise. And I just think to myself, how stupid can you be? And that is the problem. We have a dumbed-down society, a dumbed-down nation, that when the government say, put a mask on, you put a mask on. However, I think the Johnson stuff with the parties and Partygate and all that, I think has destroyed some of that. And that's why I'm hoping it's less than 50%, but I fear it's not.
Grantonio.
I'm still seeing people wearing masks, David. That's all we need to know. I was in Sainsbury's earlier, and they've still got the plexiglass between the customers and the person swiping the goods and behind the counter. They've still got the plexiglass. I don't have much faith in the human race, to be in the British public, to be completely honest, when it comes to compliance. I remember seeing a video of Professor Jordan Peterson saying something along the lines of people would go to hell in a handcart to maintain their freedoms. Well, I think the pandemic's told us that no, people actually enjoy being... locked up, being nannied, being tied up. It's really creepy, but the majority of people love being told what to do and they love compliance.
But don't you think, guys, that it, I mean, that's an interesting comment, Grantonio, but it's people, yes, people are like that. Once you scare them enough, once you introduce enough fear, and that's what they did back in 2020, so much fear, you know, and a lot of people have been traumatized and have run with that ever since. So if they could do it again with fear, I suspect, Adrian, that, you know, we're going to be back till 70, 80% are going with the fear, because that's just the golden rule.
This time we want to see.
I would say.
I'm sorry. I just.
Sorry, Adrian, no, then you
go ahead. Go ahead, buddy.
I was just going to.
I would say.
Go ahead, Adrian. I'm done.
If furlough was on the table where people could stay at home and get paid, I would say the majority would go along with it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. They can bribe people in different ways, well, you know.
Can I mean, I make a point, David? Sorry.
Yes.
I'll just throw an interesting dynamic into this. I don't think it's fear. And I'll explain. I don't judge people on the things that they say. I judge people on the things that they do. Now, I remember when the pandemic was happening, and I don't know what you'd call it, mass hysteria or something like that.
Yep.
I'll give you a few examples. It's very strange woman I was living with at the time, and she was crying. She was like, they're not telling us how many people have died, and it's, this is horrendous. And she was like in hysterics about the whole thing. It was one big drama. And then she was like, right, I'm off to Tesco now. Oh, right. So, okay. And then there were the pop concerts that people were going to. And it's like, well, it's okay, we've got our masks on. I'm like, hang on here. This is a killer virus. That will rip through you and your family and the nation and will kill, you know, like the Black Plague, a third of the population. And you think a mask is going to protect you. Do you know something? I don't think you're actually that scared of it. It was an opportunity for a lot of people to point their fingers. And I noticed that it was an opportunity for a lot of people to be abusive to people who weren't complying, who weren't towing the line. Just to quote another film, there's that line in Scarface where Al Pacino says, you need people like me so that you can point your effing fingers and say, there's the bad guy. And I think that's what a lot of this comes down to. Do you know, David, I'm thinking about this now. I don't think that many people were actually that scared.
I'm not. Jed, do you want to jump in?
I do. Right. You see, because I do see people with masks on now when I sit in Sainsbury's car park waiting for my students and things like that. But I see the odd one. And they often look to me like your recluse type person, your loner. I think people were fooled once. I'm not 100% sure they will be. Well, I've told you what my figures are, but I'm not sure they'd be fooled twice. And I agree, if furlough was there, more people would go for it because, yeah, paid for assistance on my arse. But I've also think, to a degree, they now know what the consequences of just printing money is, which we all told them at the time. And they went, no, and it'll be fine. We're saving your job. And we're only saving your job so that we can now put the interest rate up and charge you more so you still haven't got any money. So I don't know. It's difficult. Was it fear? I think it was fear at the beginning. And then I think people realised that, no, there's nobody in the UK dropping dead on the street like we see in China. Right.
Jed, yeah. Sorry.
Italy played a big part. But what you've also got to remember about Italy is it had a vastly ageing population. Vastly aging compared to the rest of Europe and compared to the UK. Because obviously a lot of them gone now, they did have a very aging set of people. But will the people go along with it? I don't know how effective. You can fool me once, you can fool me twice, but I don't know. And I think we've been fooled twice, actually, because I think we were fooled about mass lockdowns and fooled about mass, and actually a third time fooled about furlough being fine. Everything will be fine if we just pay to stay at home. And I think they're now reaping the cost of that with the high inflation and the high gas, the fuel prices, et cetera, et cetera.
Could I just very quickly, Jed, I just want to pick up on something. Paddy's just written here, people sitting by themselves in a car with a mask. Well, I used to see these people on the all the time on their own in a car wearing a mask. I mean, why not just wear a t-shirt saying, I'm better than you? Because that's ultimately what we're talking about. When I was working at a... a university not long ago. There was a girl, and she was lovely, by the way. She, half the day she spent wearing the mask. Second half of the day, she comes in, she's gone on a lunch, she's come back, she's not wearing the mask anymore. I had to ask her who she was. She's like, I've just introduced myself to you. Oh, right. Well, I didn't recognize you because you don't have the mask on. But what's actually going on there? This clearly isn't a woman who's afraid of a disease. It's deeper, it's more psychological, it's a need to comply.
Social acceptance. Conditioning.
Yeah, it's acceptance, isn't it? But acceptance by your peers. I look like you, Luke. I'm doing what you do.
Yeah, but also, the need to signal and to tell other people that they are better than them. You know, I've got a mask, or I'm waving a Ukrainian flag in my bio. It's any, do you know, that's what people need. They need meaning in their lives, and masks and Ukraine stuff gives them.
No, they want validation. That's what they want. Too. They want the instant validation, and that is where social media comes in, because social media gives you that fix. It gets you to swipe for the fix. Why do people put the pictures out over the holiday? Because look at the better holiday I've had compared to you. Come in and like it. Press the like button. Press the heart. What are you doing on here?
It's not just validation. It's the need to point those fingers.
Can I say
so, like,
something?
all the trans stuff. Well, you don't support trans rights. That means you're a TERF. Any excuse that people have to point.
Can I say something?
Yep, come in.
I don't want to belong to anything that would have me as a member.
You're a mom.
You know, I'm sorry. I refuse to comply, man. If everyone's agreeing with me, I start getting nervous.
Well, you're safe enough there, Paddy. Because
thank God for that. Yeah, Jenny beat you to it.
No, but like the whole issue Grantonio raises, it's very interesting, Grantonio. You know, I totally get what you're saying. But I do think there was elements of fear. Certainly in the early part of 2020, there was a degree, there was definitely fear. Don't forget, the mask didn't come in, for example, until the summer of 2020. And it took them all that time to conduct, Adrian, what I think is possibly the greatest psyop ever on humanity.
Worldwide, they pulled it off.
Humanity.
Do you not think though that it was to some degree what we would call the OAP society that feared it? I think the young were going, well, it doesn't affect me, but then we're forced into it, and forced into it by compliance, by wanting to fit in, wanting to be part of the group. Because you've also got, and we talk about groupthink, but you've also got to think of, I want to be part of a group. I don't want to be the outsider. So I will go along with what the group does. And that's how you get things like genocide, because I don't want to be the outsider saying that genocide is wrong, I'll join it. And that's what happened in Germany in 1940. Good people thought, I don't want to be the outsider, so I will join the group of people executing Jews. Yeah,
right.
Because if I'm on the outside, and that's my point.
I get that. I want to give Adrian a say. Adrian, do you want to come in?
Yeah, look, I think it was a psyops, because when we go back to the early 2000s, we had SARS, we had MERS, we had bird flu, we've had swine flu, and it's the same fear, different year. But this was a chance to really test how much people would comply, just to see whereabouts they are in their mass programming conditioning, because swine flu, bird flu, etc. was never as bad as this. This stopped the whole world in its tracks, and I think they just wanted to see how far people would go, because the next time, I think they'll learn from their mistakes.
And they took it to the max. They pushed it all the way. You're right.
They did. They absolutely did push it to the max. And because they did it then, and I've seen several comments, you know, that suggests to me that, in the right circumstances, they'll do it again. I do believe that they will, because they'll have learned the things that worked and the things that didn't work. But I suppose
not unless there's bodies in the street. I don't think they could pull it off this time unless there's actually wheelbarrows running around the street screaming, throw out your dead. Because I don't think anybody the only bodies that last time were the bodies they made by putting sick people in with elderly.
Well, it started actually with fake scenes from China. I mean, in a way, it did start in China. Not that there was a virus, but that the PSYOP started in China. And then they rolled it out. I also think, by the way, guys, that, you know, it took a lot of planning to make this happen in 2020. It didn't just happen overnight. They'd been planning this, I reckon, from arguably Adrian referenced, SARS back in 2003 and stuff. I think they'd been working around this for decades, and then they went for it. And if looking back, they'd be saying, well, it worked pretty good. You know, we've got a lot of division of society. We've got a lot of compliance. And yeah, there's the awkward squad, which would be probably all of us guys, which will still be there. We will still be the resistance, you know. But listen, we're coming to the end of the show. And I want to say a few things before I wrap this up. I don't know if any of you are on X/Twitter, but if you want to give yourselves a good laugh, go over to my my account on X/Twitter, and I've stuck up a song over there which I came across called "Living." I'm sure you're all familiar with the Smokey hit "Living Next Door to Alice." Well, this is "Living Next Door to Ali," and you should listen to it. It's really well done, and it entertained me. And I think if you go there, if you're able to get over to on the Twitter, I know some of you aren't, Adrian. I know you're banished from the Twitter realm.
Doctor Who thread almost did me.
Do you know, Paddy, who would have thought that a couple of simple comments about Doctor Who ends up getting
we got slammed, man. It was like, man, you said an innocuous thing and everybody called you immediately Dovant, you're a racist bastard. It had nothing to do with race. Had nothing to do with race.
Yeah, but Paddy, one thing I've learned is I take no interest in the comments of low IQ morons who mostly have probably got
purple hair. Oh, I like to pick on the feeble.
Purple hair, nose rings, they don't know what gender they are, and they're going to tell me something about Doctor Who, which, Paddy, I've been watching since, I watched it back in the 60s.
I got my fedora and my 12-foot scarf. And I always will, but I've watched it from the beginning on PBS here. It's like, it's a cult in my.
I'm now on the side of the Daleks when it comes to the new Doctor.
Exterminate.
I've realized.
Exterminate.
I'm with those guys, yeah. So, look, guys, I think we'll call it quits at that. As always, if you want to laugh, go and check that out if you're able to. If not, it doesn't matter. Can I thank you all for being here tonight? It's always, as I say, every week I say it because it's true. It's always it passes real fast. And as always, we don't get to talk about all the stuff. But hey, listen, there'll be more time next week to talk about it. So look, thanks to Jed, to Paddy, Adrian, Grantonio here in the studio. Thanks to all of you guys on the different streams, on Podbean over in Getter and whatnot. Thank you, and Rumble. Thank you so much for spending this hour and a half with us. And we shall, as they say, return. Thanks, everybody, and good night.